Thank you for listening to the Restoration City Church podcast. For more information about our church or to support us financially, please visit rcc.church.
All right. Well, Restoration City, good morning. Welcome. I'm glad that you are here. By the way, that guy who was just reading scriptures, same guy that's been leading us for the last couple of weeks, his name's David Green. He is just going to go down in history as the all-time greatest summer intern. He just finished his freshman year at college at Lipscomb University in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's hanging out with us for the summer and just so grateful for him, so grateful for the ways that he's leaned into just kind of every aspect of life for us at the church. So if you consider this your church home, I hope you will join me in helping make this a great experience for David as he's learning with us over the summer, but also just doing such an incredible job of serving us. If today's your first day with us, I want to say hi. I want to say good morning. My name is John. I have the privilege of serving as the pastor here, and I love that you're here, particularly if today is your first time, because in some ways, there's probably not a better opportunity for you to kind of come check our church out than today, because I'm going to try to talk really specifically about where we are as a community and where we believe God is leading us as we are coming out of a pandemic. That also means that I'm going to approach today's sermon a little differently than what we normally do. Like, kind of our MO as a church is to take a passage of scripture, to press into it, to teach what it says, to figure out what God is communicating about himself, what God is communicating about the gospel, what God is communicating about us, and then figure out how do we go live that specifically. And I'm going to try to honor that today by reflecting for a minute on the passage that David just read for us out of Mark chapter 3, which you may remember was the exact same passage that we looked at last Sunday. But after we reflect on that passage for a little bit, I'm going to use it as a jumping off point to just talk very specifically about where we are and about where we're going. And I just want to say that because I love it if you're kind of sitting there with the sort of theological and scriptural antenna where you're like, man, not everything you're saying comes directly out of this story of Jesus healing a guy with a withered hand. And if you sense that, you're right. We're going to try to mash two things up this morning. We're going to kind of reflect on God's word and where we're going as a community, right? If you've been around church for a while, you know that pastors have a tendency to preach what we like to call vision sermons, kind of where are we headed as a community. And my guess is if you've been around any church, whether it's this one or another one, over the last 15 months, you've probably heard more of those than normal because all of our familiarity with church seems to have been knocked out from underneath us. And we've had to have a number of moments over the course of the pandemic where we have taken stock of who we are and where we're going and what God is asking us to do. So that's what we're doing today. And honestly, I'm thrilled. I can't wait. In an attempt to avoid making the mistake that my journalist friends would call burying the lead, I'm just going to give you the headline right up front. And it is the news that our church is going to be returning to our normal home at Gunston Middle School on Sunday, August 29th. Gunston, for those of you that have never been there, is right up the road, right up 23rd Street, just kind of outside of National Landing proper, right at the corner of 23rd and South Arlington Ridge. That's where we've actually met for a number of years. There is a gorgeous 400-seat auditorium there, right off a beautiful kind of main lobby space. But what is really so significant about our ability to go back to Gunston is once you get past that main lobby, there's an entire hallway of classrooms that's located right there that really gives us the space that we need to operate our RCC kids ministry in multiple different classrooms so we can kind of have everybody broken out by age and stage and all of that kind of stuff. It has been at this point about 15, 16 months since we have been at Gunston. And in telling you that we are getting ready to go back there on Sunday, August 29th, I need to say now, and you will hear this again over the course of the summer, how much we owe as a community to our friends at the Synetic Theater. They have been, to the person, absolutely exceptional to work with. They were willing to allow us to come and start gathering with a very small group of people all the way back in July, that they were willing to create a space where we could come and live stream from and kind of create that internet broadcast, which was how the vast majority of us were connecting with church back in July. But they were also willing to open up their doors and say, yeah, you can start to bring a limited number of people back in. That goes all the way back to last summer, and by the grace of God, we were able to continue those in-person gatherings ever since, and more of you have gotten comfortable with coming back in person, and I just want you to know, I truly don't know what we would have done without the Synetic Theater over, I guess it's 13 months at this point that we have been partnered with them, and we are going to be looking for opportunities over the summer to thank them and to honor them for the ways that they have served us. So I don't want you to hear today in any way as like, oh man, don't worry, this time in the Synetic, it's almost over. Don't worry, everybody, we get to go back soon. And I'm not just saying that because we are still going to be here for the next 2 months, which is part of what we're communicating, right? August 29th in some ways is like right around the corner. In other ways, it means we're going to be in kind of this mode of church for the next 2 months. Over the summer, we will continue to meet in the Synetic Theater at 10 a.m. We will absolutely keep the live stream up through August 29th. Likely, we'll keep that up beyond that. But at the absolute least, we will have the live stream up all summer. And we will be offering our RCC Kids kind of parent co-op, which is what we're calling it right now, kind of a limited version of RCC Kids right down the hallway in the Synetics studio space. We anticipate that as the summer goes along, things will get a little crowded down there in kids ministry. There will be days where we probably need to take a bunch of kids outside to play kickball and do some things to kind of keep everything safe. On the other hand, we also know that this is going to be a summer where a lot of people are traveling, right? We kind of have a whole lot of like, I want to go see grandma, or I just want to go somewhere built up in us at this point. So there's going to be a lot of weeks where people are kind of in town, out of town, back and forth. So we think we can keep that RCC Kids co-op running over the course of the summer. We think we're going to be able to accommodate everybody who wants to be there. But man, come the end of August, it's going to be great to transition into what is really going to be a whole new season of ministry for us. And that's the way that we need to start thinking about August 29th, right? I want to have a conversation today that starts to set the stage for what we're going to do over the course of the summer and how we're going to be thinking about and how we're going to be praying into Sunday, August 29th. Because I just want you to know from the start that Sunday, August 29th is about more than just a location change. It's about way more than, hey, don't forget when you jump in your car that Sunday, drive there instead of here. I would argue it's even about way more than, oh, whew, we all get to go home. Oh, we all get to go back to the way things used to be. I am thinking about, and our staff is thinking about, and our elders are thinking about Sunday, August 29th as the start of a whole new season of ministry. And if you've been around this church for a while, that probably seems expected to you right now. Because as far back as January, I started preaching some messages saying, hey, just preparing everybody for the fact that as we emerge from this pandemic, it's going to feel a little bit more like we are replanting the church. We're about 6.5 years old as a church. It's going to feel a little bit more like we're replanting than we're just resuming. The pandemic has brought so much change in our community. So many families and young adults that no longer live in the DC area, and so many of you who have started attending Restoration City Church during the pandemic, that in some ways our community has turned over pretty dramatically. So again, if you're here, this is your first, second, third week, you're like, man, I'm probably the only one. These guys have all known each other for a couple of years. I would just like to reassure you that is not at all the case. Right? There's probably more of us in the room right now who have gotten connected to the church in the last 15 months than have been with us for the last 5 years. Right? So there's going to be this sense that we are stepping into something new as a community. Now, in fairness, it's not like the pandemic just totally, you know, wiped out the old Restoration City Church and we're totally back at square one. So we're not going to talk about this as like a replant. And we're not going to talk about it like over the course of the pandemic, we radically shifted our theology or we totally, you know, reinterpreted our understanding of God's calling on us as a church or we totally redrafted our mission statement or anything like that. There's going to be a lot of continuity between the next season and the season that we enjoyed over the first 6 years of this church. But we need to start thinking about Sunday, August 29th in the way that we would think about it if we did dial the clock back 7 years and we did say, okay, what if that Sunday, August 29th, we started to think about that as like the equivalent of the day that we were going to launch a new church, right? What if we started to think about that as like, oh, that's our first Sunday together. And those of us that are in the room right now, those of us that have gotten connected to what God is doing at Restoration City Church in June, we started to have a sense of, you know what? God wants to use us over the course of this summer to prepare to reach and welcome a whole new group of people in the end of August, right? That we're here as sort of an expanded church plant launch team. And I get it. Some of you are like, no, I'm actually here as a first-time guest. Don't go ahead and sign me up for more than I'm willing to offer. And I totally understand that. I just want you to know what the feel around here is going to be over the summer. We're going to be doing the things over the course of the summer that we did 7 years ago, getting ready to plant a church in Crystal City. We're going to be reaching together. We're going to be stretching together. Which brings us back to Mark chapter 3. All right, this is really the second week of a two-part, not just a two-part series, but a two-part message. Right, last week, we looked at that passage that David read, and we reminded ourselves that in a lot of ways, that defines the vision of what we want to be about as a church. We want to be a place where people are able to experience and participate in the restoring work of Christ, which is what Mark 3 is about. Mark 3 is about the heart of Jesus to restore everything that sin has damaged in our souls, in our lives, and in our world. That the gospel preaches a message of forgiveness of sin, but the gospel also preaches a message that says, in the words of the prophet Joel, Jesus will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Right, that Jesus will undo the brokenness in our lives, that he will lead us in a path of wholeness, that he will lead us to become more and more in the image and likeness of Christ. Right? It's a passage about the restoring work of God. In some ways, it's a passage about the Sabbath. Right, that the Pharisees had turned it into a legalistic observance that you had to comply with in order to please God, but Jesus always intended it as a gift. He intended it as the day where we would most experience the restoring power of God. It's a warning against the dangers of hard-heartedness. That's the problem with the Pharisees. They're hard-hearted. They're indifferent to the work of God. And Jesus rebukes that in the strongest possible terms. He's furious with them that they couldn't care less about whether or not this man gets healed or not. They care more about their rules than about the restoration of God. Right? That's an issue in this passage. There's even something to be said for the fact that the ministry of Jesus was so controversial and it was so shocking that he was able to unite the Pharisees and the Herodians in opposition against each other, against him, right? The Pharisees and the Herodians didn't agree on anything. The Pharisees were the religious conservatives of the day. The Herodians would have been seen as the modern political liberals. They didn't agree on anything. The Herodians wanted to make nice with Rome and let's just accommodate and let's become as secular as we need to in order to make Caesar happy and just all get along and make some money. And the Pharisees were over here, you know, worried about whether you tithe your spices or not. They hated each other. It was a power struggle every day in the streets of Jerusalem. The one thing they could agree on is that this Jesus of Nazareth represented a threat to both of their worldviews. That Jesus was coming to offer something altogether different, right? That's the theology of the passage. today I want to reflect on just one little piece of it, right? It's the piece that starts to shape where we're headed over the summer. Not the main point of the passage, but I think a valid implication of the passage. Look at verse 5 with me. And he, that's Jesus, looked around at them, the Pharisees, with anger. He's not happy right now. He's grieved at their hardness of heart. And he says to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Now, if you look at that passage, you see two things. Number one, you see that that man's hope of restoration is found entirely in the grace, power, and mercy of Jesus. Do you think that's the first day he tried to stretch out his hand? Do you think that's the first day that he got up and was like, man, maybe today, maybe it feels different. Maybe, why not? Right? I'm going to go with, no, I'm guessing the guy spent a lot of time in life trying to peel his own fingers back, see if I can move things around, see if I could try to rehabilitate myself. But he's at a point where he realizes that his only hope is the power of Jesus. This is not Jesus as physical therapist. This is Jesus as miracle worker. Saying, no, I'm going to, from a distance, without even touching you, I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to restore you. But point number two, in order for you to fully experience my restoration, you are going to have to stretch a little bit. And I want to be careful not to over-spiritualize that, but I do think it's helpful to note that for this man to experience the full restoring power of Jesus, he had to be willing to wake up muscles that he hadn't used in a long time. He had to be willing to reach for things he's only dreamed of at this point in his life. He had to step into new capacity. He had to step into new ability, and he had to be willing to let go of some of the pain and the brokenness of his past. Now, we read that and we're like, well, yeah, no kidding. The guy has a withered hand. He lives in a largely agrarian economy. His ability to pay his bills is dependent on his ability to work with his hands. Of course he's going to be willing to, you know, try it out and be like, oh, let's see, stretch my hand. But you know what? The decision to stretch is not always easy. And it's not always obvious. I mean, reading this passage in Mark 3 reminds me of John chapter 5, where Jesus heals a man, this time a man born paralyzed. I'm at a pool in Bethesda, right? A little Maryland miracle. No, just kidding. It has nothing to do with Maryland. Bethesda in Jerusalem. And he's there. And as he's getting ready to heal this guy, he asks him, do you want to be healed? Right, which seems like one of the dumbest questions in all of Scripture. I mean, the guy has been paralyzed since birth. He's there. He wants to get into the pool. Right? He just never can kind of make it happen. And Jesus is like, hey, real quick, would you like me to heal you? You remember reading that as a young Christian and being like, this is like Jesus being like offensively obtuse. Do you want me to heal you? Oh, yeah, Jesus, that'd be great. Thank you. I almost hear him like answering in the voice of my six-year-old. Yeah, duh. It's not Jesus being obtuse. It's Jesus revealing something profound about human nature. That if we're not careful, we can get far too comfortable in our brokenness. If we're not careful, we get to a point where we can't imagine what it would look like to navigate life if we weren't controlled by an overarching, almost tangible rage at times. We get to the point where we have no idea what it would look like to relate to mom and dad if we actually forgave them. The only way we know how to do Thanksgiving is just simmering resentment. And Jesus is like, would you like me to heal you? Would you like to not be so angry at them? And sometimes when you're right at that moment, you realize, man, that's a better question than I thought. Right? Because some of us have learned how to navigate life through the lens of our anger, through the lens of the pain and dysfunction of our family. Some of us don't know what it would be like to navigate marriage if there wasn't just this tense coldness that seemed to permeate everything. Some of us are so locked in the chains of sexual sin that we can't imagine what it would be like to live differently. And Jesus is like, but would you like me to restore you? Would you actually like to be different? And I think it's okay for us to feel the weight of that moment. I mean, that's actually a better question than I realized. But Jesus is trying to show us that when we are willing to stretch, it's when we experience the power of God in its fullest and purest form. That this man's hope is the grace of God. This man's hope is that this carpenter from Nazareth really has the ability to unshrivel a hand. That's our hope. But in order for us to experience the full work of Christ, we have to be willing to stretch. And this is where I want to go and kind of talk about what that could look like for us as a church. Because I truly believe that God is calling us to stretch as a community as we head into a new season of ministry. That God is calling us to exercise muscles that we haven't used in a while. That God is calling us to reach for things beyond what we've experienced in the past. That God is calling us to come together and to experience the restorative, transforming power of Jesus. And what I want to do is just spend a couple of minutes saying, okay, if you will buy into that, what are some of the specific stretches that I believe God is leading us to this summer? Three of them, good Baptist sermon. Stretch number one, mission. Right? And this is where we're going to leave Mark 3 behind, and we're going to go to words in the Gospels that are absolutely familiar to the majority of us, but words that really defined the life of the New Testament church. Jesus, in Matthew 28, before he ascends to heaven, gives his followers what we call today a commission. He gives them a set of instructions. He tells them what to do. Jesus came and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." You know he's got something significant in mind when he's like, no, hang on. Before I even tell you what I'm dreaming of for you, before I even tell you what I'm planning for you, before we even get to the specifics, you're just going to have to put some roots down in the fact that I really have all authority in heaven and on earth. You're going to have to get comfortable with the sovereignty of God. You're going to have to believe that Jesus is more actively involved in the day-to-day reality of our world than we sometimes believe, that he's not just sitting up in heaven kind of eating divine popcorn and seeing how the whole thing unfolds and being like, oh, didn't see that coming. That he really has authority over your workplace. That he really has authority over your neighborhood and over your apartment building and over your family and over your finances. And he has all authority in heaven on earth because he's like, no, here's what you're going to be doing, church. Here's the plan. When I go back to heaven, here's what you're going to do. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, leading them to faith in Jesus, doing what we're going to do on Sunday, June 27th as a church, as we celebrate baptisms. Right? Go tell people what God has done on the cross. Go share the good news of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, that there is a God who restores and that he's done everything necessary for that work on the wood of the cross. Go communicate that. And then teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Not just go make converts and then leave them alone, but go make disciples. Go show people what it's going to be like to live under the rule and the reign of Jesus. Go become more and more like Christ. And it's almost like he anticipated the freak out because he comes back and he's like, oh, by the way, hang on. Behold, I am with you always. To the end of the age. And listen, the reason he anticipated the freak out is these men in the early church took Jesus at his word. They truly believed that he intended for them to go bring the gospel to all nations. which, by the way, is why we're sitting together in a little subterranean theater in Crystal City, Virginia. It's why we're joined together across YouTube and Facebook and the internet all over today. Because those early Christians didn't just take that as an aspirational goal. They just didn't hear it as like, oh man, that's such a great idea. Gosh, we really resonate with that, Jesus. Wow, that's like inspiring stuff. I'm definitely going to keep that in mind. But what I got to do is obviously just run that through the filter of kind of here's what my life looks like right now, and here are the other pressures that I'm up against, and here are my questions, and here are my doubts, and here's what life looks like in this season. So, Jesus, obviously what you're doing here is you're sort of swinging for the rhetorical fences, go make disciples of all nations. But what I'm going to do is just reduce that to a tiny, manageable, once-a-month serving commitment. Good? No, Jesus was like, no, I'm sorry. Rewind. I have authority. I'm not leaving you because you really are going to go change the course of human history. Right? And my concern is that we don't give up on that vision, that we don't settle for a version of church that says, hey, we'll just get together on Sunday and sing some songs and have a message for those of us who are already in the club, for those of us who already believe. We'll just get together and make nice and do Jesus things on Sunday, and then we'll go back into the rest of the world and just feel bad for all those people who aren't in on all the good news with us. No, that we would be a part of that mission in Washington, D.C. in this moment in time. Right, if we truly took Jesus at his word here, we would absolutely never again be bored with the Christian life. We would have a mission that is big enough to shape the rest of our days. And that's why from the time we were planted or shortly thereafter, we've said our mission statement as a church is to glorify God by making disciples. We're not trying to do anything unique here. We feel like we should have the same mission statement as every church in the Washington, D.C. area. We're trying to stand in a 2,000-year-old line of men and women who said, okay, Jesus, if that's what you're asking me to do, I'm all in. Now, you're going to have to give me the power, and you're going to have to show me exactly what that looks like in my life, but I want you to know that I am absolutely in to be a part of your mission. Sure, you're going to have to do that in a way that makes sense in your season and in a way that makes sense in this context. But I don't want to see us dumb down the call of God on our life to what we can achieve in our own power, because God has so much more for you than that. Right? We want to reach for what Jesus has actually called us to be about. You know, if we're going to turn the clock back and start to do the things we did 7 years ago and think the things we did 7 years ago, we need to be reminded that we didn't plant this church, and this church doesn't exist because we feel like the Christians in Washington, D.C. need another option on the Sunday morning worship buffet. Right? Like the origin of this church is not a market analysis of like, okay, we think there's a need for this kind of church strategically located in South Arlington because it can reach the district, it can reach Alexandria and Arlington. Oh yeah, man, people can drive in from Falls Church and Annandale and wherever. Oh yeah, man, so great. This kind of church in this location, man, it's going to be great. We said that the reason that we got into all of this in the first place was not to give the Christians of D.C. another option to go on Sunday morning, but because this city desperately needed more Christians who were willing to engage in God's mission. And 7 years later, that's what we want to be about. Right? Not just a club for Christians. Not just a cool place with great music, as grateful as I am for these guys. Not just a place where you can go to church in shorts and jeans, but a place where we are serious about following God into what he is calling us about. So as we think about August 29th, can we just get beyond, oh good, we all get to come back together? Can we just start thinking and dreaming about what would it look like for us to band together to create a space and an environment and an opportunity to invite a whole lot of people to join us on August 29th? A whole lot of people who don't have a church home. A whole lot of people who don't know Jesus. A whole lot of people who are trying to figure out how to get their feet back underneath them as they've been rocked by a pandemic. What if we all came together and be like, man, yeah, we're in for that. We all have a role to play in that. We're all going to contribute to that. We're all going to be a part of that. Not because we're trying to grow a church, but because we're trying to change and transform a city with the restoring power of Jesus. And we're like, all right, August 29th. Now, it's not like we don't start moving in that direction before that, but we need a target on the calendar, and we need a mentality that says, man, we're stepping into a whole new season in the end of August, and we all have a role to play in that. Now, if we're going to buy into that, stretch number two is prayer. All right, because the early church took the mission of God so seriously, they had absolutely no choice but to develop a robust prayer life. See, the problem is if we dumb down the mission of God to what we can handle in our own power, then prayer becomes sort of this, you know, spiritual extracurricular activity or this break open in case of emergency kind of phenomenon. But because the early church was like, man, I mean, Jesus has told us, let's get busy, then prayer was just in the fabric of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Acts 4, 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness, right? These guys didn't go out and think up boldness on their own. Right? It wasn't that they sat around and listened to compelling podcasts and followed the right people on Instagram. It's that they got on their knees and they got on their faces and they said, oh, Lord God, would you do that through us? God, would you ignite something in us that transforms our city? And God was like, yeah, I would love to answer that prayer. Acts chapter 10, the next day as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. By the way, it was in that time of prayer that God reveals to Peter that the gospel is not just good news for the Jews, but also good news for the Gentiles. It's in that moment on a rooftop where Peter is praying that God says, hey, I'm going to show you something that is going to change the history of the world. But that was just an ordinary day for Peter. He just had a regular rhythm of prayer in his personal life. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison. Right? We feel like we experience opposition as Christians today, and I'm sure we do, but Peter's in jail. But earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church, by a church that believed that their hope of getting Peter out of jail was not a clever lawyer, was not a good demonstration, was not a great hashtag, was not anything other than God, I don't know, but he's the rock and you called him to be a pastor and he's one of our leaders and he's in jail and God, could you just do something, right? Prayer was not their last resort, it was their first option, right? And we want to move into this summer being a people of prayer. Personally and corporately. Because I will just tell you, right, maybe as the pastor of this church, but also just one member of this church, if we're going to step into a new season, if we're going to do all the work of this summer, and we're going to make a way for people to experience the gospel, if we're going to come together and sacrifice like that, I have no interest in doing that if the end result is going to be what we can achieve in our own power and in our own strength. It's just not interesting to me, right? And there's a lot of talent and a lot of ability, right? I'm so grateful for Chris and what his team leads our church in every single Sunday. And John Michael, and what an incredible pastor and leader he is, and our small group leaders. I was praying through the list of our small group leaders the other day. I was like, man, I would join any one of their small groups. I would love to have one of these guys be my small group leader. Right? The people that have been serving this church over the last 15 months in the course of a pandemic, there's a lot of really, really, really good, really, really smart, really, really capable people here. But I'm not interested in what we can get if we add John McGowan plus Chris Kim plus John Michael Nida plus elders plus small group leaders. I'm not getting up for that. Wouldn't it be great if we said, you know what, no. Let's just reach for what could only be possible through the power of God. What if we dared to take God up on his invitation to pray and see if he might fill us with boldness. Because if we embrace the mission of God, it'll do wonders for our prayer life. Now, at the end of the day, we're going to have to translate all of that embrace the mission of God and all of that prayer and all of the worship and all the things that we love into a very specific third stretch. And it's the third stretch of serving and giving. Right, this is where I'm going to get real, real practical. And again, say some of you are joining us for the first time today. And I hope, if nothing else, you've got a sense of the kind of church we're trying to be here by the grace of God. I hope maybe even feel a sense of like, man, I don't even know. We got to get to know this place a little bit better, but I could be in for that. That could be a pretty engaging way to spend my summer. Right? There may be a point where you choose to start serving and giving over the course of the summer. But I also want to take a minute and just talk to those of us that have called this place a church home for a while. And what I want to try to do is just say real specifically and pretty plainly what about every pastor in America is trying to come up with the right way to say right now. And I don't know that I'm going to say it in the most artful way possible. I don't know that I'm going to say it in the most diplomatic way possible. I hope I don't say it in an overtly offensive way, but I'm just going to just share some stuff with you. All right, some of you are not ready to come back to church in person. And I get that. You have infants at home. You're in a high-risk category. You are caring for somebody who's in a high-risk category. There's other things going on in your life, and you're going to continue to engage on the over the internet over the course of the summer, maybe even beyond that. I understand that, right? I'm not in any way trying to guilt you, pressure you, shame you, play a, oh, if you believed in Jesus, that, I'm not trying to do that at all. But there are also moments where we need to be real and say, okay, some of us are fully vaccinated. Like a lot of us are fully vaccinated. And we're back doing things like going to coffee shops and going to the mall and going to restaurants and flying and doing all of these things, which are great. I'm not trying to guilt you and shame you for that either. I'm like, man, go for it. That's fantastic. But getting back to this idea of stretching, the muscle we haven't had to use in a while is the, oh, I get up and go to church every Sunday muscle, right? Because it's available on demand. You can catch the podcast throughout the course of the week. The other things are happening. And again, it's going to be a season. We're traveling a lot this summer. That's great. Stay connected, right? I'm not hoping that you're like clicking off the internet. You're like, I will stop sinning right now. No, like stay connected when you're out of town and stuff like that. But for some of us, we just need to have the moment where we're like, there's no reason for me not to be back in person. Come on, all right. I'm going to have to stretch. I'm going to have to re-engage that. But you know what? Church is not just an event I attend. It's a community I join, and it is going to be spiritually beneficial for me to be there on a Sunday morning, and it is different to worship in person than it is to worship online and all that kind of stuff, right? So I just want to say that, to say if you're not in the space where that's possible, I get it, right? I understand it. But some of us, I mean, lovingly, it's time to stretch and time to come back. Because here's the thing. It's not just time to stretch in terms of like, okay, I'll start showing up again. It's time to stretch in terms of, man, I will start serving again. Because I will just tell you, there's a group of about 25 or 30 people that have, by and large, carried this church for the majority of the last 15 months, right? An incredibly dedicated team of staff and elders, small group leaders, ministry team leaders, musicians. There have been some people that have done absolutely heroic things. But I will just be straight with you. Those 25 or 30 people cannot carry us back to Gunston. We can't get to a new season on the backs of the same 25 or 30 people. In fact, some of them are tired and they need a rest. We need to get a whole bunch of new people in the game. And we're going to be talking about that over the course of the summer. If you're interested in all the different opportunities, you can go to rcc.church/next-steps. But I'm not so much trying to do today as a specific commercial for things. Those will be coming over the course of the summer. I'm just trying to set the tone of like, man, it's time to stretch, and it's time to serve, and it's time for some of us to give. Again, this is talking to those of us that call RCC home. I will tell you here that we are in a place as a church where, coming out of a pandemic, we are financially stable. And praise God for that. I am so grateful for your generosity over the course of the pandemic. I will also tell you that we are not yet in the place where I feel like we are financially strong enough to do all of the stretching that God has called us to in this season. Right? So we are stable, but not ready to head into the next season of ministry. We have a congregational meeting tonight. I'll be happy to put some numbers behind that. But we are at a place where it would be helpful if we had more financial capacity headed into this new season. I'm mentioning that for two reasons. Some of us have the capacity to give a one-time gift over the course of the summer, and I just want you to know, as your pastor, this would be a really good time for you to do that, right? Laura and I are looking at doing that ourselves. Feel like there's an opportunity, come on, tax return, for us to be able to do that, and we're excited about that and glad to be a part of that, right? If you're in a position to do that, this would be a strategic time to do that. I'm hopeful that we're going to see God do some things in our church over the next couple of weeks in terms of financial generosity, that we don't talk about money again until December, when we come back and do this December, what we did last December, of kind of pick a bunch of ministries outside of our city or ministry partners in the city, and we get the opportunity to give a bunch of money away in December to partner organizations, right? But this would be a good time for us to kind of increase our financial capacity. It would also be a good time for those of you who have gotten connected to RCC over the last 15 months, have figured out, man, this is my church home, but you haven't yet started to give. Get that? Totally understand that. But maybe one of the stretches that God has for you over the summer is that you would begin to set up some kind of regular recurring gift through our online giving platform. Right? So we're not in financial crisis at all. We're actually pretty stable as a church financially. But I would love to not just kind of limp into August 29th. I would love to have the capacity to be able to do some things as a church where we're able to invite a whole lot of people, where we're able to upgrade our kids' capacity, where we're able to do some pretty exciting stuff. So I appreciate you letting me lay all of that out. There's all kinds of different ideas in there. The Spirit of God will kind of connect you with what he's asking you to do in response to today's message. But I want to leave you with one last thought. Here's the thing about stretching. It's terrifying and it's exhilarating all at the same time. Like, when you hear me say stretch, when we talk about stretching over the summer, you know, don't think about like, oh, let me just stretch my calf before I go running so I don't get hurt. I'd rather have you think more like bungee jumping or skydiving or something that's like thrilling and terrifying, that's exhilarating and like, man, this chute better open, all at the same time, right? That's where we're trying to be as a church, right? When I call us to stretch, I'm calling us to make the conscious decision not to play it safe, to make the conscious decision not to settle for what's reasonable, to make the conscious decision to live fully dependent and fully trusting on the power of God, trusting that he has the ability to restore us and he has the power to transform things in our city. So that's what I want to be a part of. I hope you want to be a part of it as well. Father in heaven, we come to you right now asking for your grace. We come to you right now asking for your mercy. We come to you right now asking for your power. Lord Jesus, none of this is possible in our own strength. Lord Jesus, we need to believe that you still are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you don't change. Your mission for your church doesn't change. Your willingness to work through ordinary men and women doesn't change. Your desire to glorify yourself doesn't change. So, Holy Spirit of God, would you fill us with boldness? Would Would you give us the grace we need to stretch individually and as a church? And we just offer ourselves to you, and we pray that your will would be done. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.